This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he's not worried about North Korea's recent missile tests during the final news conference of his visit to Japan. While standing alongside Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, Trump said he doesn't think the missile tests that North Korea conducted earlier this month violated United Nations sanctions.
My people think it could have been a violation, as you know. I view it differently. I view it as a man. Perhaps he wants to get attention, and perhaps not. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
On the subject of trade, Trump told reporters his administration will make a deal with China, just not yet. Chicago seeing another violent Memorial Day weekend. Reports are since Friday, 34 people have been shot. Five of them have died. Last year, 37 people were shot. Seven of them died over the entire Memorial Day weekend in the Windy City. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
Damage cleanup continues after a deadly tornado struck El Reno, Oklahoma, outside Oklahoma City on Saturday night. The National Weather Service confirming it was an EF3 tornado that touched down and then traveled more than 2 miles in 4 minutes. The 75-yard-wide tornado destroyed a motel and destroyed most of a mobile home park. Two people died and 29 were injured. Despite what its own organizers have said, President Trump's indicated in a tweet that the annual Rolling Thunder motorcycle ride will continue next year in D.C.
Rolling Thunder organizers report the event that attracts thousands of motorcyclists to Washington every year has become too costly. The event pays tribute to service members killed in action or POWs. Artie Muller formed Rolling Thunder in 1987.
We've got 32 years of history on a lot of legislation we passed, on a lot of veterans, our troops, and their families that we helped through the years.
I'm John Clemens.
This is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
U.S. Senator John Tester is decrying the high rates of suicides among veterans. On CBS's Face the Nation yesterday, the Montana Democrat said that more has to be done to help veterans in need. As new reports say, there are about 20 veteran suicides a day. Tester says even one is too many, and he said he and Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran have crafted a bill to take mental health to a new level at the VA. Tester said they're looking to use activities that have proven to work for people with mental health issues, such as yoga and equine therapy. Speaking of horses, another horse has died at California's storied Santa Anita racetrack, and that makes 26 horse deaths there since December. The latest, the third in 9 days, was a 9-year-old horse who sustained a fatal injury to its leg during a Saturday race. Last weekend, two more horses died from injuries sustained, one during a race and one during training. On a lighter note, Disney's live-action version of its 1992 animated feature, Aladdin, earned $86 million in its first weekend in North American theaters. Coming in second was John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, which sold just over $24 million worth of tickets in the U.S. and Canada, and in third place, Avengers Endgame with nearly $17 million. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Rob Nadelson over there, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence of the Independence Institute, a former constitutional law professor and a senior advisor to the Convention of the States Project. Rob, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
It's wonderful to be back again. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the Democrats. Why not? Everybody is. Boy, they're digging in deeper and deeper, and the resistance is a fix for the next, we can say, for the next year and a half anyway.
Well, it is. It's really quite interesting how vehemently they oppose the current president. All the earlier rules seem to go out the window, although those rules had been worn down for some time.
Exactly. Well, you know, it was Harry Reid that went nuclear in the Senate, and he set the precedent. The Democrats winced when the Republicans said, okay, well, that's the way you're going to play the game. It's our turn, and here it is. You know, you're exactly right. I mean, it's not about... it's not about legislating right now. It's all about, you know, prosecuting and sending subpoenas and on and on. And meanwhile, this is at the people's expense.
Well, when they are investigating, they're not doing things like paying attention to the problems that real Americans face. Mm-hmm. And that's not strange because, as you know, I recently had a column in the Daily Caller where I write a regular contribution. Mm-hmm. And it points out that leading Democrats in Congress, as well as the last two Democratic presidents, are people who have very little resonance with the population as a whole because they've never done anything but serve in office.
Mm-hmm.
A classic example is the Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer. He's raised in New York City, kind of a liberal petri dish, okay?
Yes.
He goes to Harvard, another liberal petri dish. He works on the campaign of Eugene McCarthy, a very liberal candidate. He graduates from law school, and with 6 months after he's in law school, he goes into the New York State Legislature, and he's never had any career since. Nothing.
Wow.
And he is actually typical of most of them.
Mm-hmm. I know, and here it is. I mean, we've paid for... I guess we paid for this service, you know, time and again. The people in New York keep voting them in, and hopefully the voter politic is taking notes because I think they're increasingly getting fed up with this particular Congress, and the Democratic Party is in full display. I think it's hard to justify.
Well, that's true. However, there's a bit of a dilemma for the average voter. As long as the Constitution allows members of Congress to sit in Congress forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally to the advantage of a constituent to have a representative who's been there forever. Patrick Leahy is an example I didn't mention in the article. He's been in the Senate for 44 years.
Wow.
No. Never had a private sector job other than a very brief stint in a law firm. You can understand why the voters of Vermont would reelect him, because he's got all of this seniority, and he can bring the booty home.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other hand, if the people imposed term limits, he might take a very different view of the matter. So when you don't have a term limits rule, the temptation of the voters is to keep voting for the same people, even if those same voters think a term limits rule would be a good idea.
Exactly. And the thing that's interesting is that, they keep running surveys, and we know the lack of popularity of Congress is consistent, although, that's when you take them as a group, but when you bifurcate them individually, then their approval ratings are a different number altogether, right?
That's exactly right. That's been a phenomenon for some time. I mean, another good example is most voters would like to see an amendment requiring the federal government to balance its budget.
What a concept.
What a concept, yeah. But as long as we don't have a balanced budget rule, the voters will tend to vote for big spenders, because, again, the idea is, look, if the government's going to run a deficit, we need to get our share. Mm-hmm. This is a great example, Bill, of how the rules of the game can make so much difference. I use an example from sports. You can have the same group of people and have them play a game of softball by softball rules, and they'll all have a good time,
mm-hmm.
or have that same group of people play a game of tackle football, and few people have a good time, and some people will get hurt.
Yes.
Or you can take that same group of people and change the rules to the rules of Russian roulette, and the result will be tragedy.
Yes.
The Constitution sets up rules, and it's our job to make sure those rules work produce good outcomes, and that's not happening now.
Rob, what do we do now? I mean, here it is. We're $21 trillion-plus in debt. There seems to be no desire whatsoever, regardless of the Congress, regardless of the side. I mean, if anything is bipartisan, it's just we'll just continue to grow the debt. And this is becoming a national security issue, is it not?
It's becoming a national security issue. It's also a moral issue. Because what we're doing is we're unloading on our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the cost of our current spending.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to pay that cost. They may pay it merely in reduced standard of living, or they may pay it in more disastrous ways. For example, a meltdown of the currency.
Mm-hmm.
But they will pay the cost. And so it is a moral issue. It's also an economic issue, because when you've got a lot of debt, it's... When the federal government borrows a lot of money, that means there's less money available for the private sector to borrow for investment purposes. That's one of Europe's problems recently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it is a very difficult problem, and if you get most members of Congress in a corner, they'll acknowledge, we really should have a balanced budget amendment, but they're simply unwilling to pass it. You mentioned in the introduction that I was a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project. One reason I am a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project is I think that to cure this issue, you're really going to need a change of the rules.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We've been doing business as usual, try to vote for good people, work for good people, public education, and so forth. We've been doing that for 50 years, mm-hmm. and the situation's only gotten worse.
Well, where are we, speaking of the Convention of the States? Because certainly this is a solution, that, I mean, right now we got a little bit of adjustment coming in with an independent like Donald Trump, who has turned the whole system on its head right now as an outsider. Certainly he's non-beholden to the K Street traditions and some of the previous traditions that the, if you might want to call it, the deep state or, the establishment has been used to. And, this is kind of, shaking things up a bit.
Yes, it is. But we have to put this in perspective. Number one, while Donald Trump has engaged in some deregulation, there was a study by the Brookings Institute, a very respected think tank, recently, which found that actually what he's really done is kind of hold the line on regulations. That is a net matter. The number of regulations haven't gone down. Mostly what he's done is kind of stopped some of the Obama era proposals. Mm-hmm. He has done nothing to deal with the fiscal issues. On the contrary, mm-hmm. he has just entered agreements with Democratic leaders for a huge new infrastructure plan. He's not a fiscal conservative. He has shown a tendency to protect religious groups, for example, against political correctness. There's no question about that. But he is not going to make the kind of change in the system that's going to have to be made. I don't think any president can.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how do you make the change?
Well, I'll tell you what. Before we answer that question, we've got to go to break. We've got more from the professor after this. Stay with us.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like us. I'm Bill Martinez. Professor Robert Nadelson continues with us, the senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, a former constitutional law professor and a senior advisor to the Convention of the States Project. Rob, before the break, you started to give us an answer, and I want to make sure you had plenty of time to present that to our audience. Go ahead.
Let's unpack it. A very important traditional way of enacting reform in our country is through constitutional amendment. It was through constitutional amendment we ensured that women had the vote nationally. It was through constitutional amendment that we abolished slavery. Civil War alone didn't do the job. We adopted the Bill of Rights through constitutional amendment. We limited the president to two terms by constitutional amendment, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you reform the system through constitutional amendment? Well, 3/4 of the states have to approve any amendment, but before they can even consider a proposal, the amendment first has to be formally proposed. And there are two ways of doing that. One way is for Congress to propose. Problem is, Congress is not going to propose term limits on itself.
Right.
They're not going to propose an amendment to balance the budget, for example. So is there an alternative to that? The answer is yes. The founders provided that the states themselves can come together in a meeting called a convention for proposing amendments,
mm-hmm.
and they can propose amendments which then are considered by the states for ratification. There have been a number of different efforts to use this procedure. It's been stymied in part by a lot of misinformation, but that is changing. Over the past 4 years or so, 15 of the necessary 34 states, two-thirds of the states, 15 of the necessary 34 states have endorsed the proposed resolution for a convention,
mm-hmm.
That convention would be limited to three areas: fiscal restraints on the federal government, term limits, and reducing the size and scope of the federal government. 27 states have endorsed the movement for a balanced budget amendment, and then there are a few other areas like term limits that have a few states supporting them as well. When the number gets above 34, Congress is required to call this meeting of the states, and then the meeting of the states decides, is a constitutional amendment appropriate, and if so, how do we draft it? And, of course, they're limited by the agenda that has been set for them by the states.
Exactly. So it's not like they can come, when they come together, say, oh, wait a minute, well, we've got another idea, we want to pick this up.
Right.
That's not going to happen. At the convention of the states, when they come together, who's in charge?
Conventions elect their own officers.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been, very few people know this, but there actually have been about 40 different conventions of states in American history.
Mm-hmm.
There were about 20 of them when we were still colonies, technically conventions of colonies. There have been about 20 of them since. The most recent one was in Phoenix in 2017. So we know how the procedure works. Usually what will happen was that they'll all get together in a city, let's say it's Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some local person, some local delegate from Tennessee will call the meeting to order and immediately proceed to the election of officers. And then the officers are elected, each state voting. You know, each state has one vote.
Mm-hmm.
They elect the officers. They also create a rules committee. Now, we know what convention rules are like because we've got 3 centuries of experience with them. But based upon that experience, the rules committee then comes up with a series of rules. That has to be approved by the convention, and then the discussion of potential amendments begins.
I see. Now those officers that are elected in that process, they decide, or is this a steering committee that controls, the whole process of the convention?
There's no, I don't know of any convention where there's been a steering committee that controlled everything.
Mm-hmm.
These conventions, since they're the commissioners, we call the delegates commissioners,
mm-hmm.
since the commissioners are generally chosen by the state legislature, they're pretty savvy people. I mean, think, for example, of the Constitutional Convention. That was one example. That was one of the 40 conventions of states.
Right.
The people sent to the Constitutional Convention were really top people, and they were not going to settle for any steering committee telling them what to do.
Right.
It's kind of interesting because there have been several meetings of state legislatures recently, to try to, you know, get re-familiarized with this process. Mm-hmm. And there was one group called the Assembly of State Legislatures, and there was, in fact, an effort by the organizers of the Assembly of State Legislatures to pretty much run things from the top. It exploded pretty fast.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the people who were on the floor were experienced members of state legislatures themselves. They weren't going to permit that, and they didn't permit it.
Right.
And so this is not like a national party convention where you got a lot of amateurs, you know, 3,000 amateurs in the audience, and then a few people at the top determine everything. This is a situation where you've maybe got anywhere from 100 to 250 delegates or commissioners. They all know what they're doing. They're all experienced negotiators and politicians. They're chosen by their state legislatures, and they operate something like almost like a legislature.
Wow, mm-hmm. Well, interesting. Okay, so then they'll come together, but in this particular case, we've got 15 states, and they're agreeing on three primary issues right now, and that seems to be the agenda, and will continue to be until either you get 34 plus states approving, or it just disbands.
Yeah, that's right. Now, once the convention comes together, they'll ask themselves, do we want a term limits amendment? Well, say they say yes.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, we want to impose a term limit on the Supreme Court of 10 years. We want to impose a term limit on Congress of, let's say, 12 years. And then they draft the amendment. But, well, do we want a balanced budget amendment? Well, maybe they can't agree on a balanced budget amendment, so they don't propose one like that.
Right.
Do we want some additional restrictions on federal regulations? Well, yeah, we do. So they come up with a proposal for that. Then, so that there are two amendments that come out of the convention. There are 50 states participating, so 26 states is a majority. They decide they want term limits. They decide they want limits on federal regulations. At that point, Congress determines whether the ratification, the final approval, will be by state legislatures or by state conventions. Usually it's state legislatures, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
And then this goes to the states, and you need literally 38 states or three-quarters of the states to ratify, thereby guaranteeing that nothing that's too out of the mainstream or too weird is going to be ratified.
Exactly. Right. Well, you know, this is seriously what we're looking at in terms of a possible solution here. It's been rather tough at the ballot box, as you say, to find, candidates that are going to follow through. We've had many candidates in the past promise, you know, fiscal responsibility. But when they get there, you know, the tension against it is so tough on the Beltway that it's the wrong gospel, wrong church there.
Yeah, let me give you a good example. Let's say that you elect a new fiscally conservative congressman from California, and he is going to really do everything he can. And
almost sounds like an oxymoron there, but
right,
that's okay.
Anymore, right?
Yes, right. But we'll go with your example, okay?
We'll I mean, there are enough districts in California that you should get one conservative congressman. So he goes to Washington, D.C., and he says, I'm going to vote against anything that I think is not authorized by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what happens is some people from his district say, you know, Congressman, we'd love for you to get $10 million in federal funds to put in a museum, and this museum is going to commemorate veterans of the Korean War. Okay, so it's really sounds like a really good cause.
Right.
So our congressman says, you know, the Constitution doesn't authorize the federal government to set up museums inside the states. That's a state function. Well, their response would be, well, you know, Congressman, your opponent for the next election probably doesn't think like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to oppose us and take your fiscally conservative position, you will, you're going to lose.
Well, that's part of the story, ladies and gentlemen, and it continues. And our ongoing conversation with the professor will as well. I look forward to having him back again. Professor Robert Nadelson, the senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independent Institute. Rob, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds. Unlimited data with no hard data limits. With built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he's not worried about North Korea's recent missile tests during the final news conference of his visit to Japan. While standing alongside Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, Trump said he doesn't think the missile tests that North Korea conducted earlier this month violated United Nations sanctions.
My people think it could have been a violation, as you know. I view it differently. I view it as a man. Perhaps he wants to get attention, and perhaps not. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
On the subject of trade, Trump told reporters his administration will make a deal with China, just not yet. Chicago seeing another violent Memorial Day weekend. Reports are, since Friday, 34 people have been shot. Five of them have died. Last year, 37 people were shot. Seven of them died over the entire Memorial Day weekend in the Windy City. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Just like that, America, we're back with you. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. If you've listened to our show anytime during Memorial Day, you know this has always been an opportunity in honoring Memorial Day and all that it represents. Being former Marine myself, you know it's near and dear to my heart. And the question has been over the years is whether or not Memorial Day has lost its meaning. Well, we have a U.S. Army veteran who is with us to talk about the history of Memorial Day and simple ways viewers can, I should say, our listeners can observe the holiday. Former Sergeant Brian Ishmael, Senior Director at the University of Phoenix, is with us. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Well, terrific to have you here. You know, one of the challenges that we've had, and maybe you can help us because, you know, like most holidays, people are often, you know, very casual in saying Happy Memorial Day. And I think Memorial Day needs to be honored in such a special way, in such a reverential day, that I've never been comfortable with Happy Memorial Day.
No. I agree. I think most veterans and service members would agree with you, right? Because, you know, it's a somber day. It's a day that we recognize those who gave their lives on the battlefield, and to hear Happy Memorial Day really just doesn't fit with that meaning. That's more appropriate for Veterans Day. And it kind of goes into that, where as Americans we lose sight of this the day and what it truly means, and we're more focused on just having a day off or the traditions that we have with our families and things of that nature. So I definitely would agree with you there, and I think most veterans would as well.
Well, it's much more, you know, than the traditional, let's go to the beach and put a hot dog on the Barbie. I mean, because we can enjoy the day, it's because of those that have gone before us and have paid
exactly.
that ultimate price. Not only them, but I often think, the families as well, and the effect it has on them, Brian, that, there they are, it's a holiday, this reminds them. And my prayer for them is that maybe there can be some sense of special, if I can say this, and I'm not sure how to frame this exactly, but, some special sense of pride and gratitude, for their loved one, though their heart must be still heavy. I think, it's something that they carry with them till the day they die.
I think you're spot on there. We have to remember that on Memorial Day we're recognizing those who gave their lives for our freedom, but they the large majority of them leave behind families, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're honoring those who paid that price, we need to recognize that on this day, those family members are still going on living and sacrificing themselves by not having that loved one with them. So we need to keep them in our hearts as well.
Why has Memorial Day lost its meaning?
I think that's it's a great question, and I don't know that I have the correct answer for it, but I think just as any holiday, we get caught up, like we discussed earlier, in the traditions, whether it's going camping, having a barbecue, the pool party, Memorial Day is right towards the beginning of summer. So all of those things are great things, and I definitely don't want to take away from those fun times. But we do need to recognize the holiday and take time out of those fun activities to just pause and remember that men and women gave their lives so that we could have those activities and the freedoms that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people forget and fail to remember because history, they're not reminded of history. But Memorial Day is so important. I mean, you talk about making America great again. The reason it was great to begin with was because people believed in this great American experiment to the degree that they were willing to sacrifice their lives for liberty, right?
That's right. That's correct. And regardless of the conflict, right, and regardless of where we are in history, whether we're in active conflict or not, there is a countless number of Americans who signed up and knew that was a potential that they could lose their lives fighting for our freedoms, but they did it anyway, and they paid that ultimate sacrifice. So the one thing that we can do is make sure that we honor and recognize them every chance we get, really,
exactly.
But especially on Memorial Day.
Yeah, exactly. How did Memorial Day come about?
So Memorial Day started just after the Civil War as a way to honor all those that were lost on the battlefield. It really didn't become an official holiday till 1971, where it became an official holiday as we know it today. As a combat veteran myself, it really became personal to me through my experiences in the military. Having witnessed that sacrifice firsthand, it takes on a whole new shape. Obviously, and so it became extremely personal. So that's one of the reasons that, we do at University of Phoenix, we do the flag planting ceremony. We have the survey that helps find out, where are we at, so we can start making efforts towards making sure Americans really know and what the Memorial Day is and how to recognize those who paid that sacrifice.
Well, we're talking with former Sergeant Brian Ishmael, Senior Director, University of Phoenix Office of Military and Veteran Affairs, and as he mentioned, a combat veteran. We already talk about, how many veterans are part of the fabric of America today, and I think probably we're talking about 1%, and then, you think about a combat veteran as well, Brian, and in some sense, you can thank God that it's such a small percentage. But it's like we're more indebted, for each level
of commitment and service to our country, whether it is in service to the country, in whatever branch of service, but in each tier, those that were, found themselves in a combat situation such as yourself, and certainly those and the families that have paid the ultimate price. So we're grateful, and we thank you, Brian, for your service. You mentioned University of Phoenix's upcoming flag planting tribute. I understand this is the 10th anniversary of this tradition, right?
That's correct. This is the 10th anniversary of our University of Phoenix Memorial Day flag planting tribute. This tribute is amazing. I encourage everybody to get online and take a look at it. You can find it at the University of Phoenix Facebook page. But this year we used 15,000 flags to spell out a phrase that is right along what we've been talking about. The goal is to educate the public on what the true meaning of Memorial Day. So the public actually voted on the phrase this year, and they selected "Their legacy lives on."
Wow.
And I think that's a powerful message, right along the lines of what we've been talking about. Because this is what we do to have their legacy live on. Not only to honor those who have fallen, but to recognize and tell those family members that, hey, their legacy lives on. We're not going to forget them.
Mm-hmm.
The best part about this flag tribute is the Friday before Memorial Day, we pull up those 15,000 flags and we donate them to a local nonprofit, who then make sure that those flags get spread across the state to all the veteran grave sites.
Oh, that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Brian, honoring our vets, that have died, that have paid that ultimate price, it doesn't have to be that complicated. There are simple ways that we can observe the holiday. What comes to mind for you?
That's right. There's several simple ways, and I think the first that comes to mind is visit a local memorial or a cemetery. A lot of these places will hold ceremonies on Veterans Day that you can attend. You don't have to be a veteran or affiliated with any military organization to attend those.
Mm-hmm.
You could lower your American flag to half staff on Memorial Day. That's another great way. Take time out of that day to just pause, whether that's a minute, 5 minutes, whatever it is, pause and remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And I think the last but probably the most important one is to, if we have children, to sit them down, take a minute or two out of that day, sit them down, explain to them the meaning of Memorial Day, maybe the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
Exactly.
Just so that they know, and we can instill that in them moving forward, so we don't have half the American public not understanding the true meaning.
Brian, I'm going to give you the last word. Where can they go for more information?
For more information, you can go to the University of Phoenix Facebook page. There's a lot of information on there on the flag planting as well.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123.
800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Ben Martinez.
He's been known to cure narcolepsy just by walking into a room. His organ donation card also lists his beard. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez live.
You know, it's always interesting to hear other people talk about you. No doubt, hyperbole and exaggerations get carried away. But, hey, look, it doesn't stop us from having fun. How you doing? It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Adam Holtz joins us now. He is, of course, the one and only interim director for Focus on the Families, PluggedIn.com. And we've got lots to talk about here. Walt Disney, very happy. The box office, very favorable for them right now, huh?
You know, Disney just owns it. I mean, we've got Aladdin, which is going to push somewhere north of $200 million for the four-day weekend. Actually, that may be a little high. I'm doing that from memory. But they're having a very, very good weekend. There was some discussion before Aladdin came out. My bad. I'm way off on that. somewhere north of probably $100 million on the four-day weekend.
Right. That'd be incredible because they did, what, $86 million last weekend, right?
Right. So, Aladdin, for anybody who doesn't know, obviously was a beloved animated Disney movie that came out in 1992, and Robin Williams really stole the show with that. Mm-hmm. And this is the latest in Disney's live-action remakes and retakes, and it stars Will Smith in the role of the giant blue genie. And, you know, leading up to the movie, there was some criticism that the trailers didn't look that exciting, that people weren't that excited about it, and people were wondering how it was going to do. But obviously, you know, with an opening of north of $100 million, it's actually exceeded everyone's expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of the movie itself, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure if it was going to work either. Mm-hmm. But as it rolled on, I really had fun with it. And as long as you can sort of let go of the fact that nobody is ever going to replace
Robin Williams,
Robin Williams, this is a really fun movie, Bill.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the problem that I had with Lion King, You know, when the movie was just so good, and then when you went to see the play, it took me a bit, but you make the adjustment, you go, okay, for that genre, it works, you know, so, but I'd probably be like you, I'd be a bit conflicted going in, saying, okay, are they going to do, and so I'm glad to hear that it exceeded your expectation.
Yeah, it did, and, you know, I think the only thing that parents need to know about is a few of the scenes with Jafar, the bad guy, can get a little bit intense, so if you have especially sensitive little ones, you should be aware of that. And obviously, parents will want to navigate the whole magical business, but I think it's set in enough of a fantasy reality that I don't think that's any kind of a deal killer here, but something that's pretty easily navigable. And a movie that really ultimately emphasizes the importance of character, of telling the truth, of being yourself, of being courageous. Now, the one thing they've kind of added here is making Jasmine a little bit more of a female empowerment role model instead of just sort of a, you know, a pretty damsel in distress. She really wants to be Sultan, and she's told she can't be that because she's a woman. But there's a pretty strong female empowerment theme in this one that I think, to me, didn't feel overbearing. I think sometimes when we revisit these things with 21st century values in mind, they can be a little bit heavy-handed, but this one didn't feel that way to me at all.
Well, that's good to know, because you know, we've got little boys that are going to see this, and you know, in this movement right now, this sexual confusion and dysphoria that we're dealing with, it makes it tough, especially, you know, when you got dads that grew up with the traditional values, and of course that is shocking for some that say, oh, you know, we're over that, and you know, kind of deal. It's like, wait a minute, you know, it's all right, we're working through some of this stuff, but I think that at the end of the day, oh, but God.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I'm pleased to say that they resisted the impulse to make some character a homosexual character just to have a token presence there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we saw that with Beauty and the Beast, and we're seeing it with more and more stuff. There's really strong pressure on Disney to make Elsa gay for Frozen 2. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll just have to see. So at least on this one, they didn't feel like they had to import that particular contemporary moire into it, and I'm pleased at that.
Well, that's good. Well, let's talk about Booksmart.
Yeah, Booksmart. Booksmart sort of anchors the other end of the spectrum. This is an R-rated teen comedy. And it's rated R for a ton of sexual content, most of which is of the verbal kind, although we do see a little bit. But this is a story of two high school girls who are best friends, and they've been good girls. They have worked hard. They have sacrificed. They have basically committed themselves to getting into Ivy League schools, which they have accomplished. But then they find out a whole bunch of their friends who party all the time also got into Ivy League schools, and they're like, well, wait a minute. You know, we didn't have to make all those sacrifices to get in here. Mm-hmm. And so basically, it's a movie about them partying and throwing off inhibitions and sort of sinking to that least common denominator. And unlike Aladdin, this one does have one of the main characters has same-sex attraction, and we see quite a bit of that acted out. So it is definitely a movie that is banging that particular drum. It's one of the highest-rated movies on Rotten Tomatoes so far this year. It's at 90%.
Really? So wow.
Critics are absolutely loving this, but I think it sends all manner of really destructive messages to teens who may be seeing it. And even though it's R-rated, it certainly is aimed at teens. You know, I think it sends messages that you don't have to work that hard, that you can have your cake and eat it too in terms of partying and just blowing things off and being rebellious and being reckless. And, of course, it reinforces once again the messages that we are seeing about, you know, your sexuality can be anything you want it to be. That's up to you. So I think this is a really, really problematic film, even though mainstream critics have absolutely eaten it up.
Any reference to Varsity Blues?
I don't think so. Not that I can
remember. Not any relationship whatsoever on that?
No.
I'm just thinking just in terms of people goofing off and you know, people paying their way and, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think in terms of you know, what these girls accomplish, the fact that they get into an Ivy League school on their own merits is a good thing. So as far as it goes, you know, that's a good message. And these two young women have a really tender and touching friendship. And the same-sex relationship is not between these two best friends. So, you know, I love what it had to say just about friendship, about acceptance in terms of really encouraging you to be the person you are. But obviously when that goes into embracing same-sex attraction, you know, we're in problematic territory there.
Exactly. Well, you know, speaking of parents paying the way, I mean, you've heard the controversy with the whole National Spelling Bee thing now, right?
No, I haven't.
So oh, you haven't? Okay.
Well, I will give you my ideas off the top of my head.
Oh, okay, because you're brilliant. We're going to take notes here. So anyway, what's happening now is that, you know, they have the National Spelling Bee deal, and you work your way up and do all that. Well, parents being who they are, saying, look at my little, you know, he got a tough word. He needs another shot, whole deal. And so what happened is the people can forego the regional and pay, like, you know, $700 and be able to get their child participating in the national competition as if they won a regional. The difference being is that the parents who pay to play have to, you know, cover all the expenses. Okay. And, you know, but if you're a recipient of the regional award, then all your expenses are covered, but not if you're, you know, pay to play. And so it's $700, and I guess now the new pay to play, because they've had such a great response on the pay to play.
Well, yeah,
they're upping it up to $1,500.
I mean, man, let us parse the, you know, let us split the onion on the layers of everything that's wrong with that, right?
Right, right.
I mean, the spelling bee was sort of the last bastion of you either know or you don't, right?
Right.
But now if you can buy your way in at a higher level, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And the message it sends is terrible, too, because, you know, for all of our talk about privilege, and, man, it seems like every time we turn around, we're talking about privilege in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got, you know, a poor child who happens to be a really good speller, you know, they're going up against rich families who've bought their way in at a higher level. That's
and they might luck out. They might luck out and still the big prize because they paid their way to get in. And somehow, you know, people see that, you know, for the sake of, I guess, money or whatever opportunity, or don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or give another shot, you know, compromises the integrity of what it's all about. You know, so I agree with you. Real quick, we got a couple minutes left here. You know, in the Plugged In blog, you're doing something I think is quite interesting here that I want to point people to.
Yeah.
When you go to PluggedIn.com, check out the entertainment, media and mental health, a psychoanalysis on the screen. You got a real quick summary possibly for us on that?
You know, we're in the midst of doing a three-part series, and we've published the first two parts, really about the connection between entertainment, media, and mental health. And in this particular one, our writer Paul Acey talks about how we're seeing mental health portrayed on the big and the small screen, from 13 Reasons Why, you know, to a number of different things. And basically, the thing here is that when we see things on TV and in movies, we tend to think these are real, that this is accurate, that there's something about what is being depicted that really is telling the truth. But we know, you and I both know, that movies don't always tell the truth. And so it really is sort of an article that is unpacking that idea that, yes, we're getting a depiction, but on the other hand, not everything we're seeing here is accurate.
Well, this is why we've got to be more discerning as consumers of the media. I mean, we already heard, you know, Nancy Pelosi explained very clearly how she's used the press. She even explained it to the press, how they use them to kind of throw out a narrative out there. And once the press publishes it, a lie, is, you know, basically, then it lends credibility.
Yeah.
When you look at the whole Mueller deal, the whole Trump-Russia deal, there's so many, you know, movements like that we need to consider. So this is well done. So I call your attention to it, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Focus on the Families, PluggedIn.com, entertainment, media, and mental health. Adam, as always, appreciate it. Adam Holtz, I'm Bill Martinez Live.
Bill, great talk.
Oh, these pains, my neck, my back, shoulders. I've got to get some relief.
Stress from everyday life, past injuries, or surgeries can cause inflammation that leads to pain, but you don't want to take another pill.
There's an easier, healthier way, right?
Yes, with hot or cold therapy products at sunshine-pillows.com.
Pillows? For my aches and pains?
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows, plus travel pillows, microwavable body heating wraps,
and more. It's all available to you online.
Finally, stress relief with no drugs.
Right, and now you can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off. Just use this promo code, SAVE30, when you click sunshine-pillows.com. Save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Use promo code SAVE30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.